Hey, Drew, if you do what you've always done, you're going to get the same result you've always gotten.
Yeah. How not to be an idiot.
Basically.
Another way to say that. I love that. That's when you know, like, oh, it's time to rebrand.
Rebranding also includes your personal life and your ministry. We're going to talk about both on this episode.
Welcome to the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim. Two pastors discussing practical details about life, leadership, parenting, and being more centered around Jesus first. The goal of this show is to help you keep your eyes on Jesus through the busyness of life and clutter of your schedules. Now, join us for the conversation.
Hey, welcome to the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim. Really excited about today's episode, but Tim, hey, we've had a couple weeks here where we haven't been recording. I know you've had some things going on. I've had some things going on. Tell me what's new with you.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. I know we love to say exciting, but the fact that we are here and that we are continuing this podcast is a joy to me because I love going through the week and just being like, hey, this is really bothering me, or this is something I've been finding in the Bible, or this is something I'd love to talk about with somebody. Sure. And then I text Drew and I'm like, hey, let's talk about this Friday. And so we enjoy being here. We hope that you enjoy it. And we're on Rumble now. If you have a Rumble account, give us a subscription. It's a great way to kind of save our progress on our video episodes as a kind of another outlet for people to go to in case they want to hear what we're doing. But everything else is good. Personal life is going well. I think we're in the phase of planning summer. It's hard to believe planning summer trips and planning, you know, even in the fall, there's some things coming up in church that we're already starting to think about. Oh yeah, men's retreat we do in August. Our women's retreat just happened in last week at the time of this recording. And it was awesome to hear people coming back with just incredible testimonies. If you've been to like retreats or camps, you know that there's something different about that type of atmosphere when you're fully devoted to giving God your whole weekend. You don't have distractions as sometimes you do, like on a Sunday morning. And God enters in when you give him your full attention. And so I'm super excited for that. And I'm excited about what's coming up for some interviews we have planned on this podcast and also some additional content that we want to bring to you. So that's what's going on. And I know you've been busy, Drew, with some rebranding. That's the topic of today's episode is rebranding not only your church, but also your personal life when it's time to do that. And so I'm really interested because we haven't talked much since your new rebranding of your church launched, but I'm curious to see like what the process kind of was for you and how it's going.
Yeah. So it's going really well. And I'll be honest, this is my fourth time doing some kind of rebranding at a church. It's my first time though doing that as like the lead guy, which certainly changes things, but it's been, wow, the feedback's been incredibly positive. And it's not usually like that. usually, you know, I feel like everywhere that I've done some kind of rebranding, rechange of logo, revisioning, anything like that, there's always tension. There's always like a group of people that's like, ah, we're not going to change, or we don't like that we're changing, or something like that. And I just think, and look, I'm not trying to like, you know, toot my own horn. Trust me, there are things that we missed, and there are things that we probably don't know that we've missed that we'll find out along the road. Mm-hmm. But man, I just feel like we did such a good job of explaining the why behind each individual step. And then on top of that, bringing the congregation in on it so that there was ownership before we ever got to the final product. And I'm just really proud of our elders. I'm proud of our church and their response. And man, like it's already changing culture. It's changing the way we talk. So for those of you that don't follow like my church or what I'm involved in with ministry, and maybe you just listen to the podcast, my church was named Revolution Church. This is a church that's been around for close to two decades. And the name has always been Revolution Church. In fact, at one point it was even like the Revolution Raleigh, but it's Revolution Church. And we just changed the name to Yes Church. We wanted our weight to be really heavily on our vision statement. And our vision statement is say yes to what God has next. And ultimately what we believe is that whether you're 6 years old or 93 years old or anywhere in between, that when you say yes to what God has next, when you hear say yes to what God has next, you can identify with that. you can attach that to your life in any process you're in any journey, any walk with Christ that you're in. Even if you don't know God, you can attach that and it can make you go, oh, okay, what does God have for me next? And in all obedience, how can I say yes to that? And then that also gives you verbiage to who we are as a church. So I don't just say, hey, Tim, would you come to my church? And you go, what kind of church is it? And I go, oh, it's great. It's great. The worship's great. The pastor's great. And I just say, it's a great church. You say, hey, what's the name of your church, or what church do you go to? Oh, I go to Yes Church. What kind of church is that? Well, we're all about helping you say yes to what God has next. So now you know everything that we're trying to accomplish. And man, it has been so, so good and a big weight off of my shoulders, because you just never know how these things are going to go. But just, I think we picked the right time. I think we've got the right group of people, and I think trust has been built. And we're moving forward. Really exciting. It's just a really exciting time to be part of this ministry.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love the new website. I love the new focus on reels and videos and social media and really grabbing people to be a part of the ride as you're doing. And I think that's exciting, because even me looking in Arizona, I'm excited for you. And I can see like some of the journey without being part of the congregation. And I think that's the cool part about a rebrand like this, is you feel invested in someone that you're a part of, even if you're not right there. But then for the people that are there, you know, they're definitely, you know, as you had interest meetings and kind of launch meetings and all this kind of stuff to get there, I think that is a great time for them to be invested in. And as we were talking before, you kind of saw this as the optimal point to rebrand based on the trajectory of the church and kind of where you want to grow. You made the decision that if and when we're going to grow, now is the time to do it, because if we wait a year or 2 years, it might be too late. Can you talk about the timing a little bit? Because I think that's really important when we talk about rebranding. You can either do it too early, you can do it too late. How do you find that optimal point to rebrand? And we'll kind of steer the conversation a little bit about, you know, a personal life as, you know, as our personal life, we rebrand. You know, we're not just talking about getting a new wardrobe or, you know, getting a new hairstyle. We're talking about, as a Christian, you know, we are a new creation in Christ, but that new creation in Christ takes a lifetime of sanctification to be realized, and will never be perfect until we reach our heavenly, you know, perfect bodies, right? But we often get stuck in old habits and old lifestyles, and it's oftentimes we have to look inward and say, okay, I need to change something. Because like I said at the beginning, if you keep doing the same thing you've always done, you're going to get the same result you've always gotten. And so if you look at your life, it'd be like, man, I'm stuck in the same job I don't find purpose in. I'm stuck without, you know, I'd like a spouse. I'd like this. I'd like a, you know, better whatever. And not just in a worldly sense, but God, what do you want for me? What vision do you want for me and my family, for me personally? How do you want me to grow as a Christian? And what do I need to do today to make that difference? And this goes back to our habits episode. How can you start small to make a change? And so that's how the direction will go when we talk about personal brand.
Yeah.
But going back to the question, Drew, of timing, how did you know it was the right time to rebrand your church? Because many churches might be looking as like, our name kind of stinks. We've had it for so long. But many of them are so grounded into the tradition that's been there and that people know that it's kind of a tricky thing.
It is a tricky thing. And to be real, man, a lot of pastors come into a new church and they're looking for a quick win.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest quick win is, let's just rebrand.
Right.
And let's just make something new. And the problem with that, and I do believe it's a problem, the problem with that is there hasn't been trust built. And you can tell people that you have this vision. You can tell people that God told you. You can say a lot of different things. And you can even be honest in those things. But from a timing standpoint, trust has to be built. People have to trust you, and people have to see that you've been right before. You know, when you come in right from the get-go and you're like, I just need an easy win, the answer is not rebranding and logoing. The answer is go to lunch with someone.
You need a quick win,
get personal before you get organizational.
Yeah.
And so I think we did a really good job over the last 2 years, which is how long I've been here now. You know, we started with 37 people. 2 years down the road, we've gained a lot of people. We've lost some people, but the people who are here now are here now, and they are in it, and they are driven, and we've built trust, and I know them, and I know their families, and they know me, and they know my family. So I think it's important to start from the trust standpoint. And then the second thing you have to be asking yourself is, like, are we primed for growth? If you are primed for growth, well, hate to tell you, you don't want to grow and then change the name.
Right. Yeah.
You want to change the name before there are 500 people.
Feels like a bait and switch. Yeah.
It really does, right? And you don't want people to fall in love with something that then you're going to rip out from under them. So I wanted to make sure that people were in love with each other and in love with the church and the ministry. Mm-hmm. Then it's like, are we primed for growth? Yeah, we're primed for growth. Okay, so now might be the time. And then why are you changing the name? And look, man, I've seen a lot of churches change their brand and change their logo because the pastor didn't like what was there. And it's dangerous. That's just dangerous. Because you ask your congregation to deal with things and like things all the time that they don't like. And I think as pastors, we got to deal with that too. Like, we got to be okay with going, you know what? I don't like that worship song, but it's biblical and people get into it. So it really doesn't matter if I like it. Yeah. If we're asking our congregation to not like some things and deal with it, you got to not like some things and deal with it too. So for me, I was like, why would we change the name? Do we need to change the name? Is it a priority to change the name? And when you have a word like revolution, you know, 15, 18 years ago when the church was started, revolution meant like a group of people moving forward. You could say revolution and no one thought war. No one thought, well, whose side are you on? Nobody got into all that. But now here we are 18 years later in the time that we're living in this social media culture. And as soon as I started praying, God, would you just like help me recognize if this is the right time?
Yeah.
I heard a pro Hamas protester say we need a revolution in America. I heard a pro Israel protester say we need a revolution in America. I heard the prime minister of Africa, I think it's a prime minister of Africa, essentially, when asked about genocide, say sometimes you need a revolution. And he used the word to phrase out genocide of white people and Western culture in Africa. And then I've heard Black Lives Matter with revolution, and I've heard Trump supporters with revolution, and I've heard Biden supporters with revolution. And then I started having conversations with some people in my congregation, and they were like, yeah, actually, we waited several weeks before coming to your church because we saw the name revolution and we looked on your website and you're predominantly white. And we saw a predominantly white congregation with the name revolution and we were a little timid. And yeah. I'm like, okay, enough's enough. So before we were like, we have this great name. We have this great idea. We should do this. Before all that, you have to get to why are we changing the name? Do we need to change the name?
Well, and revolution was cool in the 90s with Kirk Franklin. He said, do you want a revolution?
Do you want a revolution? Right. Yeah. I mean, that was the deal, right? And now you don't want to play that as pre-service music. So we moved away from that. There's a lot more to it, obviously, but to answer your question simply, we knew it was time because, one, we started praying, is it time? Two, we asked, are we primed for growth? And then three, we had a really good why. We had a really good understanding of why we were changing the name. What we did not want to do is say, ooh, I found a cooler, better name. Dude, there's always better names. There's always cooler logos. There's always fresher ways to put out what's familiar. That's a common thing. We wanted to make sure there was a why behind every single thing that we did. And that starts right from the top. Why are we changing the name? Why now? And we were able to answer that.
Yeah, that's good because I think when we look at church holistically, you know, it's more than just a sermon. It's more than just a program. You know, it's the entire thing. And that starts top down with the mission and vision, right? Logo, brand, a part of that. But I love your focus on the mission because if that is the driving force behind your sermons, behind your programs, behind your ministries, then that's going to be the one common denominator besides Jesus, of course, that is going to lead you forward, drawing people into that vision. I mean, people love to rally behind a vision and a mission, and we see the business world do this very well, you know, and somehow sometimes we get in the church world, be like, all the strategies that worked for business. Church is not a business. Church, you know, we like to spiritualize what we do to the level of like, okay, we're still dealing with money. We're still dealing with HR. We're still dealing with payroll. We're still dealing with all these business aspects.
Right.
We can't just throw all those out and just pray all day. I mean, I'm a realist when it comes to that. I'm an executive pastor. I deal with the business side of church. And so I also know the spiritual side, the prayer side. We have a 24-hour prayer room. Like, I'm not saying that that's not a part of it, but it's all working together. And I come from the business world. I see what works well. My degree was in marketing. I see what goes well in marketing, in branding things. When you look at like the logos throughout the years that change, even like big ones like Coke and Pepsi, right? Just small, subtle things. Sometimes big changes, and you often wonder why, and it takes millions of dollars in those cases to figure that out.
Yep.
But for you and your area of specializing in, this is my church, this is my flock, this I am responsible as the shepherd, what is best for them, and where is God leading us? Like, those are the proper questions to ask in running your church, in running it like sometimes a business.
Well, and if you don't run it like a business because you think it's just a church and it's too spiritual, I think you're putting up a really good excuse for laziness.
Sure.
And maybe it's you're just inadequate in those areas. And so you've just decided we're not going to focus on those areas. But that's not your role. If you're leading the church, your job is to go, I'm really good at some things, I'm really not at others. And then you find people who are good at the things that you're bad at and put them around you. But most, well, actually all of the pastors that I've met that are like, no. Like, we let God drive this. We let God lead this, all this. It's 100%. They're all a little lazy when it comes to this other stuff. And I'm not saying, you know, look, you run your organization and you run your church however you want to, but I'm with you. Like, our role is to get the most out of everything we're involved in. That is biblical. We are to use ourselves up fully. We are to use our resources up fully. And so if we go, oh yeah, but the church isn't a business, like the church isn't a nonprofit. I know we're listed as a nonprofit. I know we bring in money. I know we spend money, but we're not a nonprofit. We're not a business. We're a church. Okay. Well, I think you're trying to explain away your laziness so that you can just keep doing all the fun things that you like to do, like being the preacher and preaching.
Yeah. That's true. And surround yourself with people that do that well. If that's not your skill set, then you should have a visionary in the church that looks a year ahead, 5 years ahead, that says things that are not practically able to be done right now. I mean, that's oftentimes the senior pastor, executive pastor role. If you don't have that, then surround yourself with people that can have vision. If you don't have vision, if you're a boots on the ground person, or the vice versa. But I think the church thrives when people use their giftings on how God's gifted you to be able to run something like a church. And that's why we rely on volunteers and other mentors who've gone ahead of ministry and looks at red flags. And then we have a whole history of churches. And I mean, even just today, you read the news, you can see how things are done wrong, right? I mean, we have to learn from the past so we don't make the same mistakes. And, you know, I want to ask you a question here, and then we can go to personal brand and then come back to, there's some questions that I can ask you on rebranding that I found online. But so if someone comes to you as a pastor, I'm not saying they have, and you don't have to say if they have or not, but if someone comes to you and be like, I hate this name, I've been here since the beginning, I don't like, you know, that typical thing, which I think applies to not just rebranding, but anytime someone comes and doesn't like what you're doing, especially as a newer pastor, how do you respond?
Yeah. So first of all, that means there's a hurt. So I try to get to a deeper ministry level. Because usually if you don't like something, if you don't like how loud the music is, if you don't like the music, if you don't like the pastor, you don't like the song, you don't like the way we're doing this, or you don't like the name, chances are at the bottom of that is a hurt. So if someone was to come to me and say, like, I don't like the name, I don't like, what that first like triggers in me is maybe I didn't do a good job explaining to this person why we did it.
Yeah.
Maybe I failed. Like, I always try to start with myself. Try is the key word. It's impossible to always do it, but I really try to go, oh man, what did I miss here? What did I miss? Maybe I didn't have a good enough conversation with them. And so if they explain to me, hey, I don't like the new name, you know, and honestly, I haven't had one of these, thank God, which is really cool. But if someone did come up and say, I'm, you know, don't get it, why did we leave Revolution? I'd be like, hey, listen, I'm kind of in it with you. I love say yes to what God has next. Yes, church, I could probably take it or leave it. But our responsibility is really not to the name, it's to the vision, it's to the mission, it's to what we're living out. And so I love say yes to what God has next. I believe in it, and I believe it's going to minister to people well. Yes, church is just a name. It's just something that comes along with it. And unless you think you're going to be Pepsi or Coca-Cola one day, you really don't think much about it, in my opinion. But I understand like the challenge with change. Mm-hmm. My question is not if you like it, but can you like it?
Right.
And that's what I told our congregation from the beginning. So if somebody had that conversation with me again, I want to start from a place of, I may have not communicated well. I may have not done something right. Man, were they at the meeting where we did this? Did they receive that one email? And then I'm probably going to try to dig a little deeper and ask some questions about like, well, what don't you like about it? What's the change that you're really having a tough time dealing with? Is it trust? Is it more me? Is it the way it was communicated? How can I help you understand fully what we went about? And I'm going to really take my time and make sure they understand the why behind it. That takes us all the way back to the beginning. That's why this why stuff's really important. When you're just like, oh, we like this name better. Dude, what is that? Like, what are we doing? Like, starting the right level. So I think I would try to really do a good job of explaining the why. And then, you know, look, if someone's leaving your church because of the name change, now listen, if somebody leaves the church because of the way you went about it, that's a different thing. But I feel like we did really good. If someone leaves the church because of the new name, they were going to leave your church at some point.
They were
going to
leave.
Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I try to, in all empathy, sit with them, understand where they're at, but also help them understand the why and help them understand that, listen, there are plenty of things that happen at this church that I don't like. There are plenty of things that happen at this church, like that I don't even understand, like our student ministry and worship teams, that I trust them with what's happening. And I'm always asking myself, not necessarily if I like it, but can I like it? Can I get on board? And that's really the ultimate question is now with this new name and this new vision, can you get on board? Can you sit under this? Because we're ramping up, and every single week you're going to hear, say yes to what God has next. And I mean, our welcomes at church now are so easy because we say, welcome to Yes Church. We're so glad you're here. Listen, all we want to do today is help you say yes to what God has next. We tell you our expectations right from the beginning. When I get up to preach, hey guys, go ahead and be seated. Thanks so much for being here today. I'm going to hopefully, with the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to help us move forward. I'm going to help us say yes to what God has next. And here's the scripture we're going to be in, and we roll. So
yeah, that's good. And like it. Yeah. That's good, because what you said is oftentimes people that complain about a small thing are 1 foot out the door anyway. And can you reel them back in? Are they going to be humble enough to listen? Or are they just going to be like, I'm leaving one way or another. I'm just going to pick this one thing today. I think when it comes to rebranding too, another cool thing to look at with churches, and what I've seen from you is that, you know, like I said, you have a new website, you have new lighting, you have new cameras, you have a new vision for social media.
Lots of new.
All that comes with the rebranding, but you can also do that as a church without necessarily changing your name. Like when I came, you know, on board 3 years ago as executive pastor, like we changed our website, we changed our database, we, you know, painted the sanctuary, we got new chairs, we got a new bathroom remodel, we did the flooring in the lobby, we changed a lot with our structure of leadership and training and just a ton of stuff. We could do a whole episode on that alone, but you know, that was something that required a fresh outlook on stuff. And I think as churches, you have to look at what you're doing, and it can get outdated quickly. Like I like looking at what is offered out there. I like looking at ChatGPT. I like looking at services for giving or texting or ways that churches can stay relevant and not just relevant, but stay connected with where people are at. And I think a rebranding can also look internally. If you're going to rebrand as a leadership structure, how are we going to handle our staff meetings? How are we going to handle our follow-up? How are we going to handle all this stuff can be done without a drastic rebrand. And as we look at, you know, personal branding, like I said, this is more than just a new wardrobe or a new outlook on life. I mean, if God's leading you in a direction and you realize you need to change something about your life because you're a new creation in Christ, but you're still looking like your old self, I mean, this is a process of sanctification, but if you realize that I'm sick of falling into this trap or not living with the gifts of this, the fruit of the Spirit in my life, the first step is identifying the problem, right? You have to identify the problem in order to solve the problem. So, you know, look at it with a mentor, talk to someone who's been down that path. What do other people see in your life? Spend time in prayer and reflection, spend time in fasting, so you can actually get a strategy from God on what you need to change in your life. Because I see this happen so much is that, you know, there'll be a glimpse of someone coming to church on Sunday being like, I really hate that I'm in this cycle where my spouse is more, you know, focused on God than I am. And I'm stuck in depression. I'm stuck in apathy. I want something different. And then I'll give them solutions. And then they don't follow through on them. It's like, well, how bad do you want to be out of this cycle? How bad do you want this? Because that's what's going to happen when you talk about personal rebranding is it takes work. It takes effort. You could call it discipleship. You know, personal rebranding is a process of discipleship, but we're talking about moments in your life where like something needs to happen sooner than later because I'm tired of being stuck in this old cycle of my life. And so you have to be bold and you have to be along a path that drives you down it quicker than normal. And so creating goals, getting your family on board, creating a narrative for your transformation. I like that because you've talked about this, Drew, is creating a narrative for your life. And if you want to talk about that briefly here, what does it mean to have a narrative for your life and why is that important?
Yeah, I mean, we can call it a narrative. We can call it, you know, your thought process. We can call it your vision statement. We can call it your soundtrack, to quote Global Leadership Summit from this past year. You know, what soundtrack do you have in your mind? And when we are living a life that is not in line with where we know we need to be. And listen, this is a Christian podcast. So when we say in line with where we know we need to be, when we're living a life that's not under Christ, when we're living a life that is not submitted, I don't mean submitted 50% of the way, 80% of the way, 90% of the way, fully submitted, because I know you love your sin like you love Jesus, but I'm talking about a life that's fully submitted. When we're not living that way, well, then think about how you talk to yourself. Think about that negative narrative like, oh, man, I'm a failure again. Oh, man, I'm not going to be able to get through this. And then how many times do you actually go through the process of repenting and asking and seeking forgiveness, already knowing in your mind that you plan to do the sin again? And you're leveraging the grace of God for your own sin activity? Like, that's, whoa, that's really dangerous. And so this is what's beautiful about our relationship with Christ is that he's not pushing a narrative on you like that. Right. He doesn't speak to you that way. And so the best thing we can do to create a narrative for our transformation is speak into our life what he says about us and then allow that to change how we talk to ourselves. Because you know how you talk to yourself. We're the worst to ourselves.
Like, yeah, we are.
We are the worst, man. And it doesn't matter how many people on a Sunday tell me it was a good sermon or tell me they got something out of it. If I don't think it was good, it wasn't good.
That's
right. And so this is what we do. We tear ourselves up and we need to have a positive soundtrack that's on repeat over and over and over. So speak into your life what God would speak into your life and find scripture to back that up. And then on top of that, speak to where you're going. You're creating goals.
Yeah.
Short-term, long-term goals. Set your language in the motion of those goals. Set your language in the direction of those goals. You're not going to be able to go to the gym like you want to go to the gym if every time you miss a day, you go, there you go again. Missed a day. You can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do anything. You can't follow through on anything. You're not disciplined. You're weak. Like if you're talking to yourself like that, you're never going to make it to the gym. Hey, I missed a day at the gym. You know what though? I went yesterday. I'm going to go tomorrow. I'm not done. I'm not finished. I got goals. How many times do I need to go this month? I'm going to hit it. Like that, do what you need to do. Make it a banner on your phone. Make it part of your alarm when you wake up. Make it part of your Google calendar so that it reminds you that you're going to get it. Tell yourself over and over, write sticky notes all over your house. Look, I've done this all. Like you can ask my wife, I lived through the phase of bunches of sticky notes on the mirror, on the door, in my car, on my visor, just to make myself do it. It's work. It's work. You're creating new neuro pathways for your brain and you're putting those in the direction towards Christ. It's important, important stuff. So yeah, you want to make sure the soundtrack is, the soundtrack's got that's on repeat. It's got to be moving you in the direction of your goals.
Yeah, that's good. The last part of this of personal rebranding, and then we can jump to the lightning round of church questions, but
sure.
Cut ties with your old life before Christ or your old life while you were still in sin. Cut ties with it. And so that's important because, you know, if there's certain activities you did or certain people you hung out with in your old life and you're still like dabbling in that, you're still like, you're not being a witness. You might, you know, lie to yourself and saying, well, I'm going to go reach them for Christ while you're drinking with them, you know, and partying.
Yep.
But the think of it this way, you know, as rebranding, cut ties with your old life. It's similar to like if you were to say once in a while on Sunday, you would still use the word Revolution Church. You know, some people, it'd be confusing, right? Well, I thought we were Yes Church, but now we're Revolution Church, but now we're Yes Church, now we're Revolution Church. That's the same thing we do in our personal life when you look like your old self. I thought you were a changed person in Christ. Last week I was doing pretty well and now I'm just struggling. Well, you're not struggling. You're giving yourself over to those desires. It's not a struggle. You're just losing, you know?
That's a great, and it's a great way you brought in the branding there because you're exactly right. You almost have to have a funeral for your previous self.
Yeah.
And you have to close a chapter. You can't hold on to both. I want everything that God has for me, but I'm also still holding on to my sin. Mm-hmm. Listen. I want everything that Yes Church can bring, but you know, I still like this name Revolution. We're going to use it. Yeah. You can't do that. And I'm with you. Like you sometimes have to have a funeral for the things in your past. And, you know, look, maybe you need something tangible. You know, for Christians, a lot of times this is baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why so many Christians want to get baptized again because they've rededicated. And in this time, if I get baptized, it's going to work. That's not what baptism is about. Baptism is about an inward decision and expressing that outwardly one time based on the Bible. But what's beautiful about the Jesus that we're connected with is that you can have that moment of starting fresh anytime you open your mouth and want to have that moment.
Right.
But your flesh is going to have a really hard time with it. So I would encourage you, if you're at this place as a listener right now, you're going, man, I just can't snap out of my old self. I can't die to my flesh, or it's time, but I don't really know. I want something tangible. Cool. Go get an envelope and get a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, write down all the things that are dying. Write down the sin that's gone. Write down the relationships that are gone. Write down the habits that are gone. Write down all the things that you want killed in your life. Put it in an envelope, seal the envelope, and go burn it.
Yeah.
Have a little cremation service.
That's great. I love that.
Do something tangible for sure.
All right. As we close out, let's do a lightning round. These are 10 decisions to clarify whether you should change the name and brand of your church. So we'll go through these quick. Stop me for any clarity that you want to provide based on your story, Drew. So first one is, who is your primary target? This one's pretty easy. Who are you trying to reach? Is it people that are currently going to your church or people that you want to reach from newer believers?
Yep.
I think that's self-explanatory. How churched is your community? This one's good to know where you're at. Are people going to like your, you know, not like your name? Are they going to connect with your vision? What do people care about in the city that you're in?
Sure.
Do they care more about community? Do they care more about serving? Do they care more about, you know, Bible? The Bible Belt's going to be more on, I'm guessing, you know, sermons.
Yeah, this is going to change how you brand and how you word everything.
Yeah.
You know, say yes to what God has next. Well, we're in the Bible Belt. When I say God, most people know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And the majority of people that are in our church and come to our church have been to another church. So that means that we're not trying to wow them with the fact that we do church, because chances are they've been to church, at least in this area, or they have a concept. What we're trying to differentiate is what we're about. And so if I was in, you know, like this article was mentioning, if I was in New York, if I was in parts of California, if I was in areas that maybe don't have church or have a huge unchurched population that have never been. Yeah. I mean, my vision statement might have God in it. I don't know, but it's certainly going to be about God. I don't know if I'd even put God in the vision statement. I might figure out, how can I brand? How can I market where God is in it? But at the forefront is something like, for an unchurched person, that might bring them in the door and in connection with Christ. And this goes back to what we talked to Brady about in our last episode, when you have to know who you're marketing to. And when it comes to like Easter, who more chance of a first time guest. So I don't know if you want to lead with, you know, the blood of Christ is over your door frame and we'd love for you to join us this Sunday at church.
Exactly. All right. Number three is, why do you want to change the name? We talked about that. You have to know your why.
Yeah.
Number four, does your church name provide clarity or confusion? I like that because
I love that. Yep.
Yeah. Because, you know, if you're going to call it a denomination, it's going to be a denomination. If you're going to call it something that just is like a feel good with no connection to the mission, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Does the name of your church carry baggage? So that's, you know, there's so many churches that are named similar things that if you're caught up in one that has had scandal, you might want to consider changing your name. I mean, look at that with Hillsong. A bunch of the Hillsong churches changed their name, that they were no longer Hillsong. I mean, if I started a church, I'm not going to name it Mars Hill, Arizona. It's just not going to work.
It's wild.
So,
right.
Number six, are you significantly different from most churches in your denomination? So if you are denominational and don't want to call it, you know, Baptist this, I guess you got to consider that. I like this one. Number seven, are you willing to lose people? So we talked about that a little bit, but you have to be willing to upset some that will leave. And it says, we never rejoice in that reality, but we have to accept it as fact. So that's...
Yeah, I wish that there was a caveat underneath, are you willing to lose people, that said, are you willing to lose people? And then underneath that, it was, are you willing to work hard enough for them to stay?
Right. Yeah.
Because I think, sure, like anytime you rebrand, anytime you do something like that, you certainly risk losing people.
Yeah.
But you also have to ask yourself, how hard are you willing to work to keep people there?
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a grind.
Number eight, are you viewing it as a magic bullet that will cause the church to grow? So this is good because, if we just rebrand it, we're going to gain 100 people next weekend, right? I mean, that's not how it works. It says this is maybe one of 50 things that helps your church grow, but it won't be a growth engine in and of itself.
Yeah, and this is back to what we talked about at the very beginning of the podcast episode. We see pastors come into a church first time. Oh, I'm here. I've been here 6 weeks. You know what we should do? We should rebrand, re-logo. And when people see our new name, when people see our new logo, when people see, hey, guess what? People don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care as much as you think. I guarantee you, they don't care as much as you think. And so, it's not a quick fix for anything.
Yeah. Number nine is, what does your denominational title mean in your community? And I think this more for churches, like, what does your church mean to your community? So if you think of it in that way, not just a denomination, it says, ask around in your community, what does the name of your church mean? What do they think of? Don't guess, do research, ask, find out. It may help you decide if this is a worthy pursuit. So I like that. Ask neighbors that don't come to the church. Ask people, what do you think of when you think of this church, right? They're like, oh, I really hated this one time they didn't do this, or I never see them in the community, or I never, you know,
right.
You might hear anything and everything, but it's good research.
It's certainly good.
And last one, are you willing to be patient? The first time I considered a name change, I don't think our church leaders were ready. And if the church was nowhere close to being ready, I knew that the change would take time. It was probably about 2 years from the time I determined it would be a good idea to change the name that I actually saw growth. So this article comes from Vanderblumen. So those are cool, but I think we should have done the church name or weed shop that John Chris did. We should have ended with that. Oh, well, go watch that video. It's funny because there's some church names that are just like, man, what were you thinking?
Dude. Yeah. We just rebranded, and then there are two other churches in our area right now that just launched. And I know the pastors and they know how I feel about their names, but the names are confusing. And when I talk to them about like why, you know, of course they're like, well, in the Bible, you know, I'm like, well, yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And we started to agree with Jesus. Yes and amen. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, let your answer be yes, yes, or no, no. Yeah, no, I get the scripture of your name. Why that name? And really what it came down to is nobody else has named this. You know, right. I mean, like that's, and so sometimes you work towards being original. Sometimes you work towards, you know, what you just feel like is your vision and your mission for this community. I'm thankful that we were able to do both.
Well, let us know your thoughts on this episode for rebranding. Is it time to rebrand your personal life or your church? Have you been through this before and want to share your stories? You can find us on the Eyes on Jesus podcast community Facebook group. You can also email us at eyesonjesuspodcast@outlook.com. Be sure to check our YouTube version and now on Rumble for the video version. And we are audio version on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So until next time, go with God, grow in discernment, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Thanks for joining us on the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim. Don't forget to hit subscribe. If this episode blessed you, please share it with a friend. Check out the show notes for more ways to connect with the hosts of the show.